I'm thankful to be here, I'm grateful to be here, and it's humbling to be back behind this podium where I've got many instruction. And I appreciate this congregation very much. I'm in a quandary up here, David. He told me that I was using Apple over here, and my stuff is all on Microsoft, so I got to get him to give it a punch. And I'll try not to hit it with a knife. I'm not seeing anything here on this screen, so I'll have to wing it and trust him and figure out how to get it to click. The topic David gave me was perplexed, but not in despair. And time for you to wake up. And he'll have to come down here and set me straight so I can see what's up. I'm used to having it all in front of me. And so if I can get this apple to wake up so I can see what's up there. I want to ask you this morning to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and read with me verses 8 and 9. And as you think about this passage, I want you to apply it to your life. He says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not denied." Four statements in those two verses. In those four statements, you realize, yes, we as Christian people are hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. Yes, we are perplexed, but not in despair. Yes, we are persecuted, but not abandoned. Yes, we're struck down, but not destroyed. Gentlemen, ladies, I live and work in a congregation where a lot of men are sitting back there, and they lean over to their wives and their children and say, "What did he say?" And they're loud. And their wives tell them to hush. So I am thankful for PowerPoint. And a lot of people put little icons up there. That's not the way I operate. I am thankful for this system, because I am also one of those that is hard of hearing. And yes, I talk too loud. And so, but I'm thankful for PowerPoint, and if you can't hear me, that's okay. I hope you can get enough from what I'm putting up here on the screen to understand it. When you look at those four statements that describe the true condition of believers in this world, you realize they're always true, even though our experience of them varies from time to time. We're always persecuted, but often we're not. We're not always perplexed, but it happens more than you think. We're not always facing opposition, but sometimes we do. And not every day are we struck down by the circumstances of life, but it does happen to us all eventually. And no one is exempt from these things. Do you understand what these four statements are saying to you? The gospel that some people preach, that things are always peachy after you always obey the gospel, is false. It gets you into more trouble than you know what to do with. And I point out to you that the gospel of prosperity and the gospel that your life will be a life of ease if you just obey the gospel is wrong. And I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. God's not promising you a life of ease. And perplexed means to be confused, uncertain, or in doubt. And when you look at the idea of despair, and the year I had Greek under Brother Roy, he was gone a lot, David. And he taught us how to chicken pick it. And I am thankful that he did. I don't use it a lot, but I do remember one thing, that when you see that X put on a word, that despair is the same word translated perspect, except it's got that EX tied to it. What keeps you and me from being in despair? As you think about it, God has never allowed that perplexity to overwhelm him. You and I need to be a people that is trusting in God. Do you think Noah was perplexed after preaching the gospel for 100 years and only saved his family? Do you think he was wondering why are not more people responding and coming and being on this ark? Do you think that Abraham, getting that promised son that he always wanted, and then told to go sacrifice that son, that perplexed him? If you don't think it don't, you need to reread Hebrews 11, verses 17 through 19. What about Jacob with his wages changed 10 times? What about Joseph, who had his his body stripped and his clothing stripped off him, cast into that pit, sold down into slavery, thrown into that prison? Do you think that man was perplexed? What about somebody, Lot? Lot, for example. In all that he saw in Sodom and Gomorrah, read 2 Peter 2 and verse 7. Continue on with me for a minute, then I'll make a point. As you and I think about Hannah, and you go back to 1 Samuel 1 and verse 6, you see that woman was provoked sore, and it caused her to fret in the situation that she was in. Job, after doing right for his whole life, and then his wife telling him to curse God and die, Job 2 and verse 9, he backed away. I want to ask you this. What about Jeremiah preaching the word and then being cast into the pit? And you cannot forget John the Baptist, who made the path straight and then cast into prison, being led then and having his head cut off. Why is this happening to me? What about Paul being stoned, being beaten, being cast into prison, and the thorn in the flesh? Preachers, those of you who attended school here, as I did, that young man that used to sit right over there, that young man that went into Tom Warren's class on Wednesday night, and that back room back there packed full of college students, that young man's not the same young man that stood right there. Abraham, that was promised a son, and then finally told to go crucify that son, was not the same man. Job was not the same man after he started in Job chapter 1 and he heard all of those 40 questions. As you think about it, John on the island of Patmos was not the same young man that answered the call, left his boat, and went and became a fisher of men. And you see in his later life, we call him the Apostle of Love. The gospel of Jesus Christ and the perplexities that he went through made him a better man. Let me see if I can illustrate it this way. I noticed this passage was mentioned yesterday, but I assume that some of you here today were not there yesterday. Bear with me. Would you be perplexed if you were beaten 5 times, if you were beaten with rods? Would you be perplexed if you were stoned? Would you be perplexed if you suffered shipwreck 3 times, if you were robbed, if you were treated bad by false brethren, and you had been in hunger? Think about Jesus. In the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he pray? My soul is exceedingly sorrowful. And he asked James, John, and Peter to watch. Think about Luke and what the Bible is telling you in Luke 22, verse 43. And there appeared unto him an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Was he perplexed? The Bible tells us in Hebrews 4 and verse 15 that Jesus, our high priest, sympathizes with our weaknesses. He knows what it means to be perplexed. And I see even in the garden, when he was on the mountain of transfiguration, that Moses and Elijah, they came and talked to him. So I'm asking you, what keeps you from being in despair? I can't speak for you, but think about what all is put in place in the New Testament to keep you and I out of despair. Knowing and trusting God. When Paul says to you and to me, and the scriptures relate, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Do you believe that? Do you really put your trust in God? Jesus says to you, you believe in God, believe also in me. Are you safely putting your trust in God and letting him lead you through? Have you made your calling and election sure? Have you believed to the saving of your soul, knowing that no matter what men may do, that you're okay with God and you're ready to stand before him in the judgment day? Do you realize you need to put your soul faithfully in Jesus Christ? Do you know that heaven is your home when this life is over? Do you realize that your prayers are heard, they're answered, and you have an advocate with God the Father? At times, God is leading you beside the still water. And sometimes he leads you through the valley of the shadow of death. And you think, hey, I'm going to fall if I make one wrong step. At other times, the Bible is telling you that he is disciplining you. And through the Word, the Bible, God is talking to you. And through his providence and by his providence, he is changing you from a sinner into a saint. I want to ask you. And the first time I throw this up at Hoover's Grove, I saw a lot of people cringe when it came up. But I want to ask you, do you understand what the fellowship of the church does for you? and what the encouragement is doing for you? Do you understand the value of attending services? Zoom meetings is a great thing. It keeps me from spending a lot of time in an automobile and burning a lot of fuel. Somebody got to pay for all that fuel. And my time is valuable. But I'm going to tell you something. Attending services does something that a Zoom meeting can't do. Do you realize the value of the song service? Do you realize that we're teaching, we're admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? Do you realize that, hey, you and I are to cast our care upon the Lord, and He is going to lead us through? Do you realize the value of being steadfast in the kingdom of God? And all things work together for good for those that love the Lord. I'm asking you, are you trusting the Lord? It'll keep you out of despair. David told you he wasn't going to do this. But I've been loaded in a Life Flight helicopter and flown to Vanderbilt twice. I'm lucky to be here. And the hardest part of that ride, and those guys are good that fly that thing, sets that down on top of Vanderbilt, the toughest part of the ride is in the elevator and the hard stop when you get to the emergency room. It brings you off of that top. And I've been thrown out of Vanderbilt twice. They want me to stay over there in bed and lay down. And the nurses say, you walk around this pod twice. Well, try 36 times. And the doctor comes in and says, get him out of here. There are a lot of people that need his bed worse than he does. Fine. And the doctor told me, literally, you get your Bible and you get back to work. That's what I've been told twice. And he told me that just 3 days ago when I went, or 3 weeks ago when I went and made my Vanderbilt. Are you still getting your Bible and getting to work at King? Yes. Have you thought about it this way? Let me give it to you another way. And a lot of people who was growing, it took them a while to come around to this. We all face similar circumstances. We all face problems with health. We deal with financial situations. We deal with family situations. And me and my wife in the last 2 months have dealt with septic issues 4 times. And, you know, we all deal with similar situations. I know families that their whole family is prostate problems. Others are breast cancer. Mine's heart. Others are kidney stones. And the list goes on. We all face similar circumstances. The difference is the decisions we make about what we face. Are we trusting God? Are we putting our care upon Him? Are we talking to the elders? So I'm asking you, the perplexities that are coming your way, are you thinking according to the Scriptures? Has those perplexities got you in despair? You and I read about people in the Bible that did that. That they went in despair. And you see what God carried them through to get them out of it. You and I need to be people of the book. So I'm asking you, what kind of decisions are you making? Are you making decisions based upon the Word of God? Asking Jesus, Lord, what would you have me to do? When you think about Paul, That was a changed individual when God spoke to him on the road to Damascus that day. And the guy that went through the shipwreck and all of those things and turned around and wrote this letter to the Corinthian brethren. God will make you better people. Make me a better person. So, are we doing things God's way? Using and understanding what God has given you. You are a child of God. God is a very present help in time of trouble. Psalms 46 and verse 1. Your prayers are heard. And if you think that the world has got its made, then you need to take a good dose of Psalm 72 and realize they may have it now, but when that God runs them into the wall, runs them into the pricks, they're in big trouble and their ship is going down. You and I are a part of the body of Christ. You and I want elders that are watching out for our souls. We want to be talking to them. We want to be fellowshipping with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're added to the church when we obey the gospel. Acts 2 and verse 47. We're a part of the body. What happens when a part of a body is not working? It causes a lot of trouble. A few years ago, I did not take my wife's advice. She said, wait till your sons get home and before you get up on the roof. I don't need them. I'm an older fella. I stand taller than they do. I am smarter than they are. I fell 20 foot. Crushed my heel. Had to go and have surgery. Now, David, I hate to know I had to run, but the guy was behind me. We'd gut him. And we'd get the job done. And, you know, the body of Christ is a wonderful thing. And so I want those people watching out for my soul. I want my brothers and sisters praying for me. I want you exhorting me in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs and in the fellowship. I want you to admonish me, and I want to admonish you at every service that we go. The Bible is telling us, pressure will not defeat us. David, I got a problem. I normally come with 18 slides. I've showed up here today with 22. And according to him, I'm only on 14. And so I don't know what I'm going to do. Pressure will not defeat us. Yes, we're pressed hard on every side. Confusion, because we're a part of the body of Christ, will not discourage us. Opposition will not deter us. We often experience confusion and doubt. How am I supposed to handle this situation when the pressure is so great? Fatigue wears us all down eventually. When we're confused, Jesus is not confused. Sometimes we're puzzled and perplexed by life. Sometimes we are bewildered and unsure. And when we are at wit's end, God's just getting started. We need to be trusting him and leading him through it. Get down to the nitty-gritty realism of this passage. Are you under pressure? Yes. Do you get confused sometimes? Yes. I'm an election administrator, is one of the hats that I wear. I often call my friends over on Willow Avenue, what are y'all doing today? Well, we're in confusion up here. You know what? There are 95 of us in the state of Tennessee, and we help one another. The body of Christ is big, and we ought to be leaning on one another. Sometimes we face harsh criticism. Yes. Are we knocked down sometimes? Yes. But are we getting back up and doing the will of God? The truth for every follower of Jesus Christ is Christ offers victory through trouble, not victory apart from trouble. The struggles that we go through in this life, look at what Abraham went through. Look at what Job went through. Look at what John the Baptist went through. Look at what Paul went through. The apostles of Christ, it made them better. The victorious Christian life is what we're going to have when this life is over. Understanding the victory, the same way that Paul did. So let me ask you. Think about this. If you pray for patience, does God give you patience or the opportunity to be patient? If you pray for courage, does God give you courage or the opportunity to be courageous? If you pray for your family, like I'm praying for mine, to grow closer, does God zap them with a warm, fuzzy feeling? Pray not. Or does he give me the opportunity to love each other? Are you perplexed? Are you perplexed because you do not understand how God works? Life is hard sometimes. We're not promised a life of ease. We face danger around every corner. Sometimes I have a lot of close calls out on the road. Sometimes I have close calls going up and down steps. I'm under pressure all the time. I walked into an election meeting back last fall. And they said, Jim, say a few words in this thing. And they called some of my friends up and they said a few words. And I was shocked at the technology that's out there that can take those few words that we speak and change it and make us say things that we do not believe and do not teach. That technology is there. So as we as gospel preachers, we as Christians, have to be careful. I do get confused. People attack me all the time. Sometimes I'm knocked down by life. But that's when the power of Christ shows up to help me and you. Thank you for letting me be here, and I appreciate you very much.